is similar on the part of many people today. It is an attitude that sinning is really not such a big deal because God's grace will take care of it. I had a former co-worker a long time ago when I was working 30 years ago. This took place 30 years ago. He said on one occasion, he says, "I've been forgiven of my sin. So it doesn't matter what I do now. I can do anything. I can live any kind of way that I want to because God's grace is going to cover me." What a disgraceful and a disrespectful mindset that one could have. To think that they can take God's grace and just abuse it in that way and say that I can do anything I want to do now because God's grace is going to take care of it. You see such an attitude like that actually cheapens God's grace and will cause many people to abuse the grace of God. We must understand this morning that grace is not a license to sin. So let us then this morning try to understand the nature and the effect and the consequences of sin as I give some reasons why we ought not continue a life of sin. First of all, consider with me, if you will, the origin and the history of sin, and we know all about it in the book of Genesis. We know how that God gave his law to man and says, "Of every tree that sitteth in the garden, you may freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he says, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely eat." I don't know how many trees were in the garden, but certainly there were more than one. And I have to believe there were more than two or three or four. So he says, of every tree, any tree out there, you may freely eat. But of the one of knowledge and evil, and that was the tree that sat in the midst, he said, you must not eat. Because if you do that, you're going to die. I don't know what it is about sin that seemed to be so tempting. The thing you can do 100 things right, and that one thing that is so tempting, it just seems to be so much more glamorous than the other things that you're free to do. Evidently, this was the case here. Well, Satan, as you know, got in the mix, and he came to Miss Eve, and he said to her, again, has God said that you cannot eat of this tree? I'm paraphrasing what he said. She related to him what God had said, and he says, you shall not surely. Change one word. I added one word. God said, you shall. He said, you shall not. Surely die. And since that day, sin has been on. It has been running rampant in the lives of men. That tree was pleasant to the eye. It was good, she says, the Bible says, she saw it was good for the food. Pleasant to the eye. And it was a tree desirable to make one wise. You know what I see in that statement that is found in Genesis chapter 3? I see 1 John chapter 2, where it talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. No wonder John would say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. that sat in the midst was off limits, but somehow it was so appealing. Till the Bible says she ate of it, she gave to her husband, and he did eat. And as I've said, since that day, sin has been on. As a result of this, it brought forth misery and sorrow to mankind. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 and 19 through 19. The Bible says there, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. What does that say to us? What does that imply? That if it had not been for sin, it would not have been such a painful thing to bear children. I know you mothers who are out there, I don't know whether any of you went through those long hours of labor, giving birth to a child. But that's the sorrow and that's the misery that came not as a result of your sin individually, but as a result of the sin that came into the world in the garden. Because of sin, he says, I'm going to multiply your sorrow and your conception, and in pain you shall bring forth children. He goes on and talks about your desire shall be for your husband. He's talking to Eve, but then to Adam, you're not going to get by either. You're going to have some problems also. He said this. He says, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten fruit from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall labor. In toil you're going to have to work. In toil you're going to have to sweat. How long? Till the day you return to the dust. You know why there is so much toil and so much burden and so much labor in our work today? And I know most folks, or many folks I should say, work in air-conditioned buildings and have soft shells to sit in, but there's still strain and stress and all of that that goes along with the labor that you're involved in. All of that is because of what happened in the garden. Not only would they have to endure all of these things, but they were cast out of the garden. They were separated from this paradise, if you will. Genesis chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. So when you think about the origin of sin, what all happened as a result of the sin in the garden, it is just illogical. It just does not make good sense to continue in something that got you in that trouble in the first place. It just doesn't make sense. It's illogical to continue in sin. So Paul, as he answers the question, he says, God forbid, verse number 2, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Then he says, if they died to it, why are you going to keep on trying to live it? If you died to it, if we have truly died to sin, how can we continue to live in that sin? You see, to continue to live in sin is indicative of the fact that one has not truly died to sin. And when one has not truly died to sin, that robs that individual of that new life that one is to enjoy in Christ Jesus. Notice what the scripture says, continues to say in verse number 3 of Romans chapter 6. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, he says, we are buried by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. A change should have taken place in our lives. We should no longer be walking in that old life because we have died to it. So if one continues to live in sin, I'm not talking about inadvertently sinning or occasionally sin, but when one continues, the question was asked, shall we continue? Shall we make this a way of life because we got grace? So when one makes it a way of life, when one continues to live in sin, it is indicative of the fact that he has not or she has not truly died to sin. And therefore, he or she, they are robbing themselves of the wonderful benefits of walking in newness of life. So when one robs himself then of this great benefit of walking in newness of life, he or she, they are subjecting themselves. Let me include myself. We are subjecting ourselves to the awful and the tragic effects that sin will bring. So when we know what the effects are, why would anyone want to continue to live in sin? Again, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up to continue to live in sin. If we believe the Bible, and I believe we do believe the Bible, because we are here this morning, the Bible makes it so plain that there are awful and tragic effects of continuing to live in sin. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. But to get the real message of what is being said here, we need to go all the way back, and we won't go there by the scripture this morning, but just write it down, chapter 1. When the prophet Isaiah began to talk to God's people, the Israelites, they had made it a way of sin in their lives. The Bible describes them as being rotten with sin from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. They were all messed up in sin, going away in idolatry, doing all kinds of things. So they had become, it had become a way of life for them to live in sin. And so when you get down to chapter 59, Isaiah talks about what had happened. He says in verse number 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. They had got to such a point that God would not even hear their prayers. We can get to such a point, brothers and sisters, that God will not hear our prayers. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 12, that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. What is he talking about? When folks keep on living in sin, keep on doing the wrong thing, keep on going against God, God will shut his ear and will not hear their prayers. So, to continue to live in sin means to continue to live a separated life from God. And when you live a separated life from God, you rob yourself of all of the spiritual blessings that God has in store for you. He's going to still give you sunshine. He's going to still give you rain. Your crops will probably grow. You'll be able to get a job and do all of those kind of things, but not one of his spiritual blessings will be yours to enjoy because you've separated yourself from God. It's a terrible thing to continue to live in sin. So we cannot then find comfort in the statement that, yes, we have the grace of God through Christ Jesus. So as my co-worker said many years ago, I can live any kind of way that I want to. No ma'am and no sir. God despises that kind of life when we abuse his grace. And so when we continue to live in sin, we separate ourselves from God. And separating ourselves from God, living in it, that is, living in sin, we stand before the judgment, having lived a life of sin, not being forgiven of our sins, we'll not be able to inherit eternal life. And I know we all want to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over few things. Come up higher, and I will make thee rule over many." In and now into the joy of our Lord. We just sang a song. Everybody will be happy over there. But if we have been continuing to live a life of sin, we won't be happy over there. There'll only be misery. Only be sorrow over there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 says this: "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, various, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Did you hear that? Do you see the awful and the tragic effects of continuing to live a life of sin? It will bring eternal death to our lives. It will bring eternal separation from God. No wonder Paul went on in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 when he says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Do you want death? That is eternal death. Are we going to get this as I would term it, we're going to get the temporary death. We all are going to die. We all are going to separate ourselves from this world. We all are going to die physically. But I'm talking about eternal death, eternal separation from God. We don't want that. We want to live with God eternally. But then, when we understand how deceitful sin is, why would we want to continue to live in something that is so deceitful? Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 12 and 13, the Hebrew writer said, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest in any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." You know what deceit is? It's to take a lie and make it sound like the truth. That's what sin will do. Sin, and that's what happened in the garden. That tree looked so good. That tree was so desirable until Eve thought it was all right to partake of it. She was deceived. Matter of fact, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14 says she was deceived by sin. Sin will deceive us, because you know who is behind sin? The devil. And the devil is a master deceiver. That's his job. You want to see somebody that's on their job? Check out the devil. He's on his job. The Bible says this concerning the devil in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 9. "So that great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world." Satan is on his job. I'm saying to us this morning, don't let Satan deceive us into thinking that since we have the grace of God, since we've been baptized in the water and grave of baptism, and we are members of the church that the Lord died for, the only one that you can read about in the New Testament, that we can go on and live in any kind of way we please. Don't be deceived by that. You see, the world offers so much to us, but the world, even itself, is a great deceiver. Many are deceived as to what this life is all about. Look at the man, if you will, a familiar story, the man in Luke chapter 12, whose ground, the Bible says, brought forth plentifully. And he says, I'm going to tear down the bonds that I have, and I'm going to build bigger bonds. And he says, then I'll have enough room to bestow all my goods. And I'm going to say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I got all the stuff now. All the stuff that God has blessed me with. So all I need to do now is just go through life and take it easy. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to get me a cup of coffee. That's for y'all. I don't drink coffee. I drink tea every now and then. Get me a cup of tea and I'm going to sit down. Take it easy. I'm going to get in my easy chair and get my remote. Take it easy. I'm going to get in my car and drive down the countryside and look at all that beautiful white cotton out there that I'm glad I don't have to get out there and pick now. Take it easy. I'm going to go and visit my friends. We're going to talk about all kinds of good things and take it easy. That's not what life is all about. Yes, we can do those things, but that's not what life is all about. And this man found out that wasn't what life was all about, but it was too late. You know what the Bible says in that text? Luke chapter 12. The Bible says there, after he had said all of those things, in verse number 20, but God said, right, see, he had been doing all the saying, but God said, we need to make sure that one day God is going to say. Matter of fact, he's already said, but another day is going to come when he's going to say. And one of the things he's going to say, he's going to either say, depart from me, or he's going to say, come ye blessed of my Father. But in this text, the Bible says, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all these things be that thou hast provided? So it is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, the world has fed us a great lie. The world has fed us the lie that when you have the big house, you got it made. When you have a nice car, you got it made. When you got a good job, you got it made. When you got food on your table, you got it made. When you got friends, you got it made. It's good to have all those things, but those are not the things that life really consists of. Life consists of having the right and the proper relationship with God. This man didn't have the proper relationship with God because all he had was a relationship with himself. So it is a man who lays up treasure for himself and not toward God. I would say to us this morning, brothers and sisters, let's not be walking through life laying up treasure for ourselves. But we need to be rich toward God. My point of all of this is saying, don't let sin deceive us. Sometimes things can look so good, feel so good, taste so good, until we think nothing can be wrong with it. But I tell you, the devil wants us to believe that. So he'll have us continuing to live in sin. And you know why sin gets into such a fix, gets us into such a fix as that? Because sin has some power. We don't realize the sin, the power that sin has. Sin will enslave us. It will enslave us. Paul goes on further in Romans chapter 6, and he talks about the enslavement of sin. Verse number 16, he says, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves service to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto what? Death. Obedience unto righteousness. There are two slaves, two servants in this passage. A servant unto death and a servant of righteousness. Which one do you want to be a servant of? The word servant simply means a slave. It means that you got a master, one that's ruling over you. Sin will rule over us. It will enslave us. So make sure that we are not a slave of sin. Make sure that we are a slave unto righteousness. That's who we when we know that the power that sin has, why would we want to continue in sin? And then here's another one here. When you continue to live in sin, sin will leave you worse off than when it found you. Look at what 1 Peter chapter says. 2 Peter rather, chapter 2 says. Verse number 20 through 22. Peter says by inspiration, "For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." I don't know about you, but to me, that's a powerful and a convicting statement to me. That statement says to me that once I obey the gospel, once I have been saved by the grace of God, and when I turn back and continue into this life of sin, that I was worse off before I even obeyed the gospel. That's what this text is saying. I was worse off. I was in a bad enough condition before I obeyed it. Now, you mean I'm going to get something worse than bad? I don't know if that's good grammar or not, but you get the picture. That's what that statement is saying. That I am worse off than I was before I obeyed the gospel. And then he gives a picture of that. And notice what the picture illustrates. He says, again, "For it would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." But it's happened to them according, he says, unto the true proverb, "The dog is turned to his own vomit again." I know it's graphic, but it's right there in the text. I'm going to say it. Have you ever seen a dog vomit and turn around and eat his own vomit? That's how despicable our lives are in the sight of God when we turn from God and continue to live a life of sin. God sees us as a dog eating his own vomit. That's a terrible, terrible picture. When you realize that that's what a continuous life of sin, that's the kind of picture you are to God, would you want to continue in that? You want God to see you as a servant of righteousness. You want God to see you as a holy person. You want God to see you as one who is striving to do his will and not as a dog licking up his own vomit. Somebody says, "It makes me sick." Well, it makes God sick. That's the picture that the Spirit is trying to get us to see. Peter was trying to get those people by inspiration not to turn away and live a life of sin because you're worse off than you were before you obeyed the gospel, and you're just like a dog who vomits and licks and eats his own vomit. Not only that, he said, but you're just like a hog or just like a sow that's been washed. Then turn around and go back into that old mud puddle of water. Brothers and sisters, sin is despicable. Let's not continue to live in sin. Grace doesn't cover one who continues to live in sin, because a continuous life separates one from God. When you know the final destination of sin, it does not make sense to keep on living it. The final destination of sin is to take us to hell. Why would anybody want to continue to live in something that's going to take them to hell? Let's think about our lives, and let's bring them into conformity with the will of God, and let's keep on walking in the light as God is light. And when we do that, then God's grace and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. Thank God for his grace, but let's not abuse God's grace. Shall we continue in sin? that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that have died to sin live any longer therein? Don't you know? Those who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, the Bible says, were baptized into his death, that like as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Don't continue to live in sin. Grace won't cover us if we keep living in sin. But thank God for the grace, because it's